Blog Talk Radio.
On the Erotic Conversationalist.
I need your fire.
meant to be an exceptional lover in bed? Or do men and women have to be taught how to please their partners sexually and bring them to orgasm consistently? My guest for this interview and discussion knows a thing or two about teaching men and women how to have great sex because she is a certified sex expert and sex educator. She has been a featured speaker at a number of conferences, seminars, and workshops, and she even sometimes is invited into men and women's private homes so that she can actually teach men up close and personal how to please their women with their mouth, tongue, and hard cock. And similarly, she teaches women how to please and satisfy men with their mouth, tongue, and wet pussies. Who is this woman who is totally passionate and dedicated to making sure that men and women enjoy themselves to the fullest in bed? Her name is Nikki Ransom, and right now, you're about to enter into the erotic zone with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, the king of verbal seduction. This is the Erotic Conversationalist.
Masturbation and playing with your pussy is, first off, one of the best things that you can do for yourself. You're making yourself come and learning your body and what your pussy likes, and then even finding all the spots that I told you about before, so you know, oh, that's what the G-spot feels like, and that's what the A-spot in my pussy feels like. It definitely should be playing with your own pussy and making yourself come. I like to play with my pussy.
Say it again.
I love to play with my pussy.
Oh, say it again.
Yes, Alan, you got my pussy real wet. Real wet. My pussy is so wet, so wet. Alan, you got my pussy wet. You have my fat pussy wet.
Oh, yes.
To give you a visual.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the 8th episode of The Erotic Conversationalist. And as usual, I am your host, Alan Roger Curry, otherwise known on this show as the King of Verbal Seduction. And in this installment, I'm going to be interviewing a woman who will be the first female guest I've ever interviewed on both Upfront and Straightforward, which, for those of you who don't know, that's my live talk radio podcast program about dating and relationships, and this more risque podcast show, The Erotic Conversationalist. Now, when I had her on Upfront and Straightforward, by the end of the conversation, she had my dick so hard that I had to go jack off after the interview, and I'm only saying that half jokingly. So without further ado, please welcome my guest for the first time on The Erotic Conversationalist, Miss Nikki Ransom. What's up there, Nikki?
Hello, how are you? Thank you for having me.
Oh, I'm glad to have you. And so how does it feel to have that honor? You're my first guest that's done both of my shows.
I love that. I love being first. I love being first, yes.
That's funny because you on my other show, you got indoctrinated to my three favorite words, which is say it again.
Say it again.
Yeah, be prepared to hear that a lot during this conversation. You revealed something interesting on my last show, which I actually included in my intro, which is that in addition to you doing conferences and seminars and workshops, you said that on occasion you will have either married couples or just romantically involved couples invite you into their home in order for you to either teach the man how to lick pussy or the woman how to suck cock or for them to fuck better. That has to be pretty exciting, isn't it?
It is, but though when I'm teaching, I'm in more of a teacher mode. I do go to couples' homes and then also, you know, the swingers clubs and private adult clubs. I'll do, you know, big workshops where there'll be a ton of couples, you know, which is always, you know, very awesome and very sexy, you know, to see a bunch of people enjoying each other sexually, sucking and licking. It's a beautiful thing, very beautiful thing, yeah. And then, of course, they love, you know, having a cute little something there, teaching them how to do things. I love teaching people how to fuck and fuck well. Oh. They're fucking, but then they're fucking well.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, I know we touched on this when you went Upfront and Straightforward, but for those who I have some listeners, I think, that just listen to the Erotic Conversationalist. Now, one thing that's different about this show is my other show is probably about roughly 50% male listeners, 50% female listeners, whereas this show is probably about 90% female listeners and only about 5 to 10% male. Yeah. A lot of women listen to this show to play with their pussy. Now, they want to be educated and enlightened, but they also like to be aroused, too. And but anyway, for those who didn't hear the interview on Upfront and Straightforward, tell my listeners, how did you get to a point where you said, I wanted to become my life's work to help people, men and women, have better sex life?
Well, I have been for the past 4 years. I was a life coach, relationship coach, and a sex expert, you know, to kind of help women in all aspects, because I've always wanted women to know that we can have it all, you know, have the best kind of life, a great relationship, amazing sex, and that sex is for us. Because a lot of people, a lot of women don't understand that sex is more for us, I say, than for men.
Stop right there. I want you to elaborate on that a bit, because that's not something you hear women say too often, at least publicly. So tell my listeners, and for a few men that might be listening, why do you think sex is more for women's pleasure and satisfaction than men's?
Well, the first thing is, you know, the fact of our clitoris. You know, our clitoris, whose only purpose is to bring us sexual gratification. Like, our fantastic girl down there has 8,000 nerve endings, which is twice as many as the man's penis. So it's like, ladies, you know how much men love sex and how good it feels to them, but just understand that we got double of that. You know, we were given that naturally. So, boom, already right there. It's like, yeah, we're supposed to be enjoying some sex.
Okay, Nikki, I have to chastise you real quick.
Mm-hmm.
On this show, you cannot say words like vagina and penis and making love. You got to say fucking dick or cock and pussy, okay?
Yes, I have to stop being so educational.
Say yes, sir, I understand that.
Yes, Alan, I understand now.
Say it again.
Yes, Alan, I understand.
Okay, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the ladies, we do, the men, they have like half of the nerve endings in their dicks that we have in our clits, so already right there. And then, you know, we're able to come just so much more than men and so much easier than men, you know, having our multiples and our extended orgasms. And then, ladies, you probably don't even know that you have all of these fantastic hot spots in your pussies that you're carrying around in there. You know, we have more than just the G-spot. You know, we have the A-spot. We have the cul-de-sac. And then our cervixes can be erogenous zones as well that can make us come, you know, really fantastically. So we have not one, not two, not three, but four, you know, spot in our pussy that are meant to give us all kinds of fantastic orgasms and make us, you know, come. And that A spot, you know, that makes us, you know, really, really wet. Sex is really for us. And we need to start enjoying it more.
You know, you can't run through all of those without getting elaborate. So I want you to pretend like you know there are at least 25 to 50 men listening right now that their girlfriends or wives have told them that they need to learn some new tricks in order to satisfy them. So I want you to tell these men, first starting with what you refer to as A-spot, how would a man know when he's penetrating or massaging the A-spot in a woman's pussy?
That A-spot really can be even better. Well, it is, to me, even better than that G-spot, just the way it makes a woman come and how it makes her body respond. When he is in her pussy and fucking her, especially with him on top. Yes, when he is in her pussy and fucking her, and especially on top of her with her knees back to her ears, that's a really great position, you know, to get really deep in the pussy, that A-spot, because it's deeper. Yeah, you got to get deep in that pussy to get the A-spot. Gotta get deep. Yeah, and that position is gonna let you. And when you hit that spot, fellas, there's probably been plenty of times where you're like, ooh, girl, you got real wet and all that. But but it was actually because he probably hit that A spot that instantaneously makes her wet, just very wet, and can make her come like nobody's business instantaneously. So you will know when you hit that spot. It's deep. It's deep in her pussy. You can even use your fingers. It's very deep in her pussy, especially the cul-de-sac, too. We're going to get to that.
Okay. Well, speaking of that, what exactly is the cul-de-sac?
The cul-de-sac is that spot. It's behind the woman's cervix. So, you know, some fellas' dicks might not be long enough. Some might, you know, need extenders and get her in the right position because it's very, very deep. It's behind the cervix. And, you know, women that really enjoy that deep, deep penetration with some really nice, long, you know, fat dicks, they love for their cul-de-sacs to be hit.
Say that again.
Yes, women that love the nice, long, oh, my goodness, a fat dick, they can hit the cul-de-sac very, very well and make you have a fantastic orgasm. Make you come hard, Alan. I love a fat dick. A fat dick in my pussy. They make you have a flashback. I love a fat dick in my pussy. Nothing better than a fat dick. Fat, long dick.
Okay, so you talked about the A-spot, the cul-de-sac. There was one other. Was there one other thing you mentioned?
Well, also our cervixes, and a lot of ladies don't know. You know, the cervix is there for a purpose, but for some ladies, it can feel really good for the cervixes to be hit, too, and will make us come really hard, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, the women that say size doesn't matter, or the women that really don't enjoy feel that deep penetration, or they have a lot of sensitivity, you know, right at the opening of their pussies. But a lot of women's sensitivities and erogenous zones are deeper in their pussies. That's why the other women are like, hell yeah, size matters.
Now, that's funny. Oh, yeah, we're going to touch on this for a second because, of course, this is a very big issue with men because I do a lot of workshops for men, and that's one of the questions, honestly, that they will ask me. It's like, hey, Alan, you know, I'm kind of insecure about either the length of my penis or the thickness of it. You know, do you think, in your honest opinion, that size really matters? And I always tell them, it depends on the woman.
Mm-hmm.
I would say different women I've talked to have expressed different things. I would say probably, I don't know, I'd say 60-65% of women I've talked to have told me, yes, it does matter. I'd say
mm-hmm.
about maybe 35-40% said not necessarily. Because, like, some women will say that they've dated guys with big dicks, but they said those guys didn't really know how to use them.
You definitely have to know how to use your dick. I'm hoping that a big dick isn't going to waste with somebody that doesn't know how to use that dick.
A big dick. That's funny. Oh, big dick going away.
Yeah, that's a waste. A nice fat dick, and then they don't know what they're doing with it, or they're doing that jackhammer shit. Like, no. Yeah, but there's a pussy for every dick, I say. But size absolutely does matter. But like you said, it does depend on the woman. Some women are deeper than other women and need, you know, a longer dick.
Let's split it up into the benefits of both, starting with length. What is the primary benefit of a man having a long dick? Well, first of all, in Nikki Ransom's opinion, what's the minimum number of inches a man needs to have in order to be considered to have a long dick?
Okay, Nikki Ransom Alfred Sanders. I'll say 7 inches.
Okay. Because Trojan.
Me and my pussy.
Trojan condoms, they say the average cock is 5.5 to 6, so they say that anything above 6 is considered above average, but Nikki says above 7. Okay, so now give me 2 to 3 benefits that say a 7-inch cock or longer can do for a woman that say a 5-inch cock wouldn't be able to do.
Well, and also still depending on the woman and how deep her pussy is, because you know some women might be like, 7 hurts. And then some women, 5 inches might hit their cul-de-sac if they have a shallow pussy. But benefits of a longer dick is, of course, being able to hit those different spots with ease. You know, with ease, and you don't even have to worry about, you know, being in certain positions because his penis can very naturally already hit, you know, that cul-de-sac and hit your cervix, and his dick can, you know, get to that A spot and that G spot, you know, real easy and make you come really easy. And then too, I do want to put in there, Alan, that we don't like a long pencil dick.
Well, I was going to get to that next, which is, well, now let's switch from length to girth. Now, going by Trojan, Trojan says, if you take a tape measure and wrap it around your dick, the average dick is 4.5 to 5 inches wrapped with a tape measure wrapped around it. So what would you say for you is a good thickness? If a man was to take one of those, you know, how they when they measure you for a tailor-made suit, it's called a tape measure. If he was to wrap that around his dick, what would you say is a good thickness for a man to have?
I do like that. That's the 5 inches. Yeah. The average, that average is still very nice, but not any skinnier than that.
So in other words, you'd rather have a 5.5 to 6 inch cucumber than a 12-inch number two pencil?
Hell yes. Hell yes. I don't want my pussy stabbed up and whatnot. Like, that's you know, I don't like it. Mm-mm. Too skinny. Yeah, because then you really can't feel it. It's like you're just being stabbed, you know? Well, you won't know. You wouldn't know. But my other ladies that have experienced, you know, unfortunate, really skinny dicks understand what I'm talking about. You know, length is nice, but if it's skinny and it just feels like it's just pow, 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 like they're stabbing you. You want something, you know, bucking you, not stabbing you.
That's interesting. I don't know if I've ever heard a woman quite put it like that, stabbing you.
Yeah, that's pencil.
So, okay, you talked about some of the benefits of the length. What is the biggest one or two big benefits of the girth? What are you able to feel with the girth that, say, you're not able to feel with, as you call it, a pencil dick?
It's that full feeling. Like that, like when his dick is first, you know, sliding in your pussy and you just feel it just, ooh, Jesus, just feel it filling your pussy up and just wrap, your pussy is tightly wrapped around it. Just that feeling is almost indescribable, and it just feels so good to just have a fat dick, you know, pussy out. And massaging the walls and making them feel good that a really skinny dick can't. And it doesn't take a lot of girth. That's why the average really isn't that bad because, you know, women, if we do our exercises and keep our pussies tight and right, then we won't need them, you know, big old fat monsters and like fists and shit. You know what I'm saying? Like the average, you know, is going to be fine as long as we keep our pussies tight and right, then we're going to be good with that. But any smaller than that, then, you know, you can run into an issue. If you like fat dicks, because it's just that feeling, Aaron. I'm going to try to describe it to you, but, you know, just for your pussy, you like to have it filled up. Like, you really like to have that full feeling. It makes you come harder. And then just when he's going in and out and sliding and you feel, you know, his dick, you know, going in and out of your pussy, and you can even feel the veins and everything just rubbing, you know, on your pussy walls. And if his dick is too skinny, you're not really going to be able to feel all of that.
Interesting. Okay. See, that's why I love this show, because I love to hear women keep shit real.
Mm-hmm.
And because, you know, because I actually got criticized one time. What was this site? I can't remember the site. I probably shouldn't have mentioned it on the show anyway. But there was a site where they would have like, well, it's kind of similar to the site I'm on now. I'm on this site called yourtango.com, which is full of a variety of different dating and relationship experts. And, you know, I write articles for, now I don't do like one-on-one question and answer with people, but they do have a comment section. But anyway, a few years ago, there was a site that's similar to your Yourtango where they had different credentials. credentialed and non-credentialed dating experts that would answer questions.
Mm-hmm.
And one guy said, I'm very insecure about the size of my dick. And, you know, basically, am I being overreactive, or does the size really matter for women? And both a male and female expert quickly said, oh, no, that's just the porno industry encourages that. But, you know, women in the real world, they don't care about size. They just care about, are you a good person? Do you love them? And
no,
I was like, they sent all this, like, you know, warm and fuzzy shit.
Bullshit.
And I came in, I was like, you know, with all due respect to you two experts, I told the guy, let's call him Frank. I said, Frank, they're feeding you a bunch of bullshit. I said, size definitely matters to a lot of women. I'm not going to say it matters to 100% of the women out there, but I guarantee you, you know, I said at least 3 out of 5 women you meet, size is going to matter, either length, girth, or both. And I said, anybody who tells you anything different is trying to feed you a bunch of bullshit, or they're trying to sell you something. Because, matter of fact, I talk about in my book, my third book, which is called, ooh, say it again, no surprise there. there's one section I got a lot of feedback, not only from men, but from women, too. I say that, starting with my college days, I said, me and my friends, a lot of times, we could look at a woman and tell, number one, if she loves to fuck, and secondly, if she's been fucked really good. Because they generally tend to have a different demeanor. Their just whole demeanor, to me, tends to be more sensuous, more at ease, more smooth, so to speak. Whereas women who don't like to fuck or have never been fucked really good, those women, their walk is not as sexy. The way they talk is not as sexy. And just their overall demeanor is not as sexy. Matter of fact, a good example would be a woman who was on this very show, my very last episode, I interviewed a woman named Brandy Davis. And it's funny, when I first had communications with her, man, she was like a major prude. Matter of fact, I don't know if you heard that episode, but I start off the episode making her apologize to me. Because she had to say, I'm sorry, sir, because she does modeling. And one time she had posted these pictures of her modeling lingerie. And I wrote her a message on Facebook. I said, oh, shit, that got my dick hard. You're going to have to play with your pussy for me. And she was like, that's disgusting. Don't talk to me like that. And don't ever, you know, write me again. She ended up unfriending me, blocking me, everything. I was like, what the fuck? And then, Bon, I want to say, 2 years later, I see her on somebody else's Facebook page, and now all of a sudden she's advertising that she's selling female adult sex toys. I'm like, whoa. So I found a way to write her again, and I said, what's up? Now you were this major prude with me, and now you're selling sex toys. And she basically ended up saying, at that time and both on the show, she essentially said, Alan, it's amazing what some good dick can do for you.
Turn your world upside down.
She said, I think most women who are prudes are usually women who've never had any good dick.
Yep.
And I generally tend to, there might be a few exceptions here and there, but I generally tend to agree with that. I think most women who tend to be really uptight and prudish and all that are usually women that have never really been fucked really good.
Yeah, good dick in your life. Good dick in your life will straighten out a lot of different areas. ladies.
Okay.
Yeah, being
okay.
fucked really well will keep your mind right. Your mind, your attitude, everything.
Okay. Well, on that note, think about either some of your female friends or some of your female clients. Give me at least one situation where you met a woman that initially was just either prudish or just very uptight, very stressed out, full of a lot of problems. And then as soon as she got some good dick, you saw a change in that woman.
Yes, yes, I do. She was a friend and a client, her and hubby, and I actually went through the process of teaching them some advanced sex positions and how to make her squirt. And they actually ended up doing it pretty quickly. But she was like, she's an entrepreneur, you know, here in the city, and was always just very uptight and complaining, you know, about issues in the marriage and, you know, just all kind of stuff, complaining about almost every damn thing, kinda. And we had that session. I had just one session with them, and taught them this. And by the next week, she was, ooh, child, I love having you as a friend. And I squirted for the first time. And just she kept going on and on. And, I mean, like, no more do I hear the complaints. I'm seeing posts on Facebook, me and the hubby about to go do this and this, and I love him and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, see, there we go. Like, there we go. That was fantastic. Yeah, but good sex and some really good dick being fucked well will change your life. And scientifically proven to change your life. If being fucked well will change your life. Good dick. Nothing better than good dick, really. There is nothing better. Money, shoes, whatever y'all can say, there is nothing better than good dick and being fucked well on the regular. Nothing better than being fucked well. Nothing better than a good dick. But I'm going to stick in my disclaimer. Let that good dick be attached to a good man. Because
well,
you know what could happen if you fucking some good dick and ain't a good man.
Well, you know, that's funny you mentioned that. Because I've talked about that on my show, but most recently I was talking about it because I got into a debate on my Facebook page. Did you see this movie, Tyler Perry's new movie called Temptation?
I haven't even seen a commercial for it.
Yeah, well, I saw it the other day, and it was actually good. I'll be honest, I've been critical of a lot of Tyler Perry's movies. But this one, to me, was pretty good. It had very, what I thought was very realistic characters. But one thing I touched on with some of my friends is that I've always said on my show, and most women actually don't challenge me on this. I've had maybe one or two. But I tend to tell women on my show up front and straightforward, I say, a woman is more likely to fall in love with a guy because he got some good dick than a man is to fall in love with a woman because she got some good pussy. And because I've seen that happen to so many women. And there's a storyline in Tyler Perry's new movie where that's basically, I don't want to give away too much of the movie for those who haven't seen it, but that's essentially what happens. It's about this woman who's married, and she meets this guy first through her job, and he starts hitting on her. And, you know, for the first two or three times he hits on her, she's able to resist him. She, you know, keeps telling him that she's very married. But the problem is her husband is like kind of a semi-prude and a kind of a dud. He's real basic and conventional. And when the guy who she ends up cheating with really gets to her, he's like, you know, you've never been fucked out of the bedroom. You've never been fucked, you know. He starts naming all these kinky type scenarios. And you can see it on her face like, damn, I ain't never experienced none of that shit. And anyway, she does the kind of, this is a spoiler warning for listeners who haven't seen it. But yeah, she ends up giving it to the guy at about his third or fourth advance. And he ends up turning her out to the point where, you know, she leaves her husband, or at least she starts cheating on him. And there's one scene where he asks her point blank. He says, does your husband make love to you better than me? And then she hesitates. Then she says, no. She says, then he makes her tell her him how good he is in bed, and she does. And I was telling some people about discussion. I said, see, that's real. To me, that scene was very, very real. Now, on the negative end, though, well, number one, she shouldn't have been cheating, but he illustrates your point, which is he was giving her some good dick, but he wasn't a good man, the guy she was cheating with. Number one, he was strung out on drugs. He used cocaine on a regular basis. And he's just pretty much an asshole. But I always tell women and men, too, that, and I said this on a recent episode of Upfront and Straightforward, I said, anytime you see a woman with a guy that's like a jerk, asshole, not treating that woman right, but you notice she just never breaks up with him, never leaves him, I said, 99% chance it's because that dude is fucking her right.
Yep, he's wearing her out. Yep.
Because women, if you're an asshole and you can't fuck, ain't no woman going to stay with your ass.
No.
You're going to get dumped in a microsecond.
Some women, even if you're a good dude and you can't fuck, like with me, like you can be a great man, but if you can't fuck, you're just not going to hear from me again.
Yeah, that's true,
too. You're the greatest man in the world.
Matter of fact, I had a woman that I met not too long ago. She lives in Atlanta, and we were talking, and somehow we got on the subject of past relationships. And she was talking about this one guy she dated. And a couple of other exes, you know, she had criticisms of him. But this one ex, she had nothing but compliments for him. And I was like, well, if he was such a great guy, why did you break up with him? And then she started giggling like she didn't really want to tell me. I said, oh, and I kind of knew what she was probably going to say. I said, come on, tell me. First, she's like, no. She said, okay, you want the blunt honest truth? She said, he was a great guy. But she said, his dick was just too small for me. I said, really? She said, yeah, I'm talking about like fully erect. He probably had, his dick was probably like 5 inches. And then, in regards to girth, she said, basically, your line. She said, not only he did not have any length, she said he was pretty much like a pencil dick. And I was like, wow. She said, I just couldn't stay with him. She said, I loved him to death. She said, beyond sex, he was probably the greatest boyfriend I've ever dated. But she said, I knew deep down that if I stayed with him, I was going to end up cheating on him. And she said, so I just had to break his heart and let him go. And I was like, wow. That's real talk. And so, yeah. Yeah, and this is, again, Nikki, this is such an important point I make to both men and women. I hate when people will say stuff like, Alan, there's more to relationships than sex, and Alan, there's much more important than sex. I'm like, that's bullshit. I'm not saying that sex is the 100% factor to what makes a relationship successful, but at the same time, it ain't a 0% factor either. Good sex has to be in there. And any man or woman who is in this delusional fantasy world and treating sex like it ain't that important is like I said, they're delusional.
Sex is so important to a relationship and a marriage. And that's really why we see so many, you know, fucked up marriages and relationships now, because people want to say that sex isn't important. It is. It's so important, and we have to be able to please each other and fuck each other well, because when you're not fucked well, it's going to spread into other aspects of the relationship, and you see the fighting and the bickering and the tension and all kinds of other BS in the relationship, and it's because y'all aren't connecting and having that sex and having that orgasm with each other. It's of the utmost importance. Like, I'd say top five, you know, with trust, communication, friendship, but in there is the sex. You have to be fucking in your marriage and in your relationship. You have to be fucking regular, not this, you know, I'm going to fuck him this today and ain't going to fuck him again till next week, or I'm going to just suck his dick on his birthday, or, you know, stuff like that. You're supposed to be fucking all the time, all over the house, outside of the house. Anywhere. You're supposed to be sucking your man's dick all the time, not just on special occasions or when you feel good. Fellas, you're supposed to be eating pussy and eating pussy well. Please learn how to eat a pussy well. It ain't just, I'm going to dive in and start sucking on your clit. Like, there is a technique and an art to eating some good pussy, fellas. Okay. You need to learn it.
Now tell briefly, you don't have to give all your teaching secrets, but give a couple of hints, tips to men on how to lick pussy better.
Well, first, before even diving in, you know, to start eating her pussy, like give her lips like a massage with your thumbs. Like, first off, that's sexy as hell. It's gonna make her wet. It's gonna increase the blood going to pussy, which is gonna make everything else feel better, and it's erotic. Just do that. That sexy. Have you ever did that, Alan?
Yes.
It's massaging her pussy lips with your thumbs. It's getting her nice and relaxed and ready. It's so sexy. It's so sexy, and it's something that men, you know, they'll forget, you know, to do that stuff like that. That really will take your head game to the next level. Your tongue. You know, don't just go in and think you're supposed to start flicking her clit and sucking on her clit. Like, take your tongue and trace it, like, all around her small pussy lips and trace it around her clit. Not touching the clit, but just teasing it and letting your tongue, you know, just go all around her pussy lips. It's just, oh, my gosh. And then, fellas, please learn how to suck on her pussy and suck on her clit nice. Or when you're sucking on it and it's in your mouth and you're flicking it with your tongue while you're sucking on it. Like, oof, I'm going to have to go see my boo-boo when we get done. Yeah, this conversation, talk about eating pussy good, is getting my pussy wet. I'm ready to have my pussy ate right about now.
Oh, say it again.
After this conversation, I'm going to go have my pussy ate as soon as we get off.
Because you love having your pussy licked, don't you?
I love having my pussy ate. Love having my pussy licked. Love having my pussy sucked on and my clit sucked on. That's so nice. Nothing better than head.
You told me you also like getting fucked in the ass too, don't you?
I do like getting fucked in the ass. Yeah. I love getting fucked in the ass. Love it. Yeah. Makes me come hard.
Say, Alan, I bet you're stroking your cock, aren't you?
Alan, I bet you're stroking your cock, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
Are you?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Whew. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah.
At the end of that last interview, you had my cock real hard. Matter of fact, I think you were getting ready to get fucked by your husband after that conversation. Did he fuck you good that night?
Oh, yes. Yes, he did, because he was listening to our conversation, and while we were talking, I just had my panties on and my legs open, so he was ready as soon as I got off the phone.
Oh.
And fucked me well.
Oh. Say it again. Say he,
yes, my husband
well.
Fucked me well. Oh. My husband fucks me well. Oh. Good. Oh. Thorough.
Oh.
That's thorough fucking.
You love his cock in your pussy, huh?
I do. I love his cock in my pussy. Just the fatness and, like I said, just the feeling of the veins and feeling, you know, the head. Just like a nice fat dick, you'll be able to just feel all of that. And it's just, it's amazing. There's nothing better than having a pussy. I love him, woman.
Now, does he, does the fact of you being a certified sex expert and someone who offers knowledge, wisdom, and advice to other people, is that kind of sort of like an aphrodisiac for your husband?
I'm sure it is. He's a happy man. He definitely likes to, you know, hear me talking about it, and he always accompanies me when I go on, you know, when I go teaching, like at the adult clubs or where I teach couples that actually want to, you know, learn different things when they're in the act. You know, he goes with me, and yeah, he thinks it's very sexy what I do.
So I bet you suck his dick on command, don't you?
Yes, which is sexy. You should suck your man's dick on command. You know, let him know that he is king and that you are there to please him. That's what we're supposed to be doing.
Now you got to say that again. I want all my female listeners to listen to this very closely. Now say that again, Nikki.
Yes, we should be and have no problem with sucking your man's dick on command or when he asks, because we are supposed to be pleasing our men in every way that they would like. In all ways. If he wants to fuck you in the ass, then we should be letting him fuck us in the ass. He likes his dick sucked a lot. We should be sucking a lot of dick. In real. And enjoying it.
Oh.
Yeah, because it ain't just a technique. You guys have to enjoy it, too. I mean, I'm not a man, but Alan, to ask you, you know, you like to, if a woman is sucking your cock, you want to know that she's enjoying sucking your cock. Like, it's not as good if, yeah, she might be doing techniques well, but if she's not enjoying it and loving your cock, you're like, eh.
Yeah, yeah, you can tell. Matter of fact, I'll be honest, and you might even get a little, have your feathers ruffled by this comment, but I've gotten a few sisters mad because sometimes when they see brothers mess around with white women, they'll get, you know, they'll say, why is he messing around with this white woman? Why is he ignoring the sisters? I say, hey, I'm going to tell you, I don't like to generalize or stereotype. But I say, if there's at least one thing I would give white women as a group over black women as a group, and they say, what is that? I say, white women love to suck dick.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't never had a bad blowjob by a white woman. I'm serious. I ain't never had a below average. Where sisters, I mean, I've had some sisters that have sucked my dick very well. But, again, if I'm looking at them as a group, the percentage, I've had probably just as many, if not more, black women who have been average to less than average when it came to sucking dick than white women.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say if I had to think of my roughly top 10 best blowjobs of all time, I'd say at least 6 or 7 of those top 10 spots would belong to white women.
See, you ain't gonna ruffle my feathers. That's something I want you to put on a YouTube video and put it out there, because we need to understand, especially black women, that it's important to be sucking dick, sucking good dick, and to love suck dick. Like, there's nothing wrong with it. I think with you know, black women that, you know, will, you know, have these negative connotations with, you know, liking to suck dick. And, oh, if you like to suck dick, oh, you ain't nothing but superhead and you a hoe and blah, blah, blah. But we should love to suck dick. Sucking dick is fun, first off. Ladies, you can come from sucking dick. I have come so many times just from sucking my husband's dick.
Wow. Say that again.
Yes, I have come so many times just from sucking my husband's dick. So we need to get into it. I ain't mad about what you said. I give a high five to a white girl because, hey, at least they got it right.
Yeah, and the thing is, it relates to what you said. Is that when I've been with white women, what I notice is they genuinely enjoy sucking dick. Whereas at least half the black women I've been with, they'll do it with the attitude of, well, I'm doing this to please you, but really I don't like doing it. But they don't realize that their lack of enthusiasm comes through in their performance.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I like women who genuinely love to suck dick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sucking dick is fantastic.
Oh,
it's a treat.
Oh.
Yeah, sucking dick is fantastic. Like, just sucking on the head and just kissing, you know, around that the bottom of the head. And oh, yeah. I love to suck a dick. I love it. Yeah, you come hard from sucking a dick. Yeah, like, you need to get with it. You got to enjoy it. It's fantastic. And then you even get off just from hearing, you know, your man moan and seeing, you know, what you can do to your man and watching his toes curl. And that's some sexy shit right there. It's just knowing what you can do to your man just with your mouth. It's like, come on now. Like, there's so much power in that, and that's it's so sexy. I don't see how women can't love sucking dick.
Damn, Nikki, every woman needs a girlfriend like you, and every man needs you to talk to that girlfriend or wife. Shit, I can see why you in the business you do. You are one of the most, and I'm not just saying this to flatter you, you are one of the most sexually free-spirited and frank women I've just ever talked to. Because that's the problem. And see, I write about this in some of my books. The problem that a lot of men have with a good number of women out here in society is one of two things. Either they are genuine prudes, or at minimum, because they're so afraid of being criticized by other people, they pretend to be prudes. Like, I have a nickname for them in my book. I call those pretenders. Pretenders are, yeah, that's a woman who, if you come at her right and come at her strong, you'll eventually break her down and get her to unleash her kinky, uninhibited side. But initially, she's always going to pretend like she's like, you know, don't be talking to me about sex. I ain't no hoe. I ain't no slut. You better respect me. I'm a respectable girl. And all that all shit. So, let's touch on that, because you mentioned that yourself about, if you're talking about that you love to suck dick, women will say, oh, that means you must be a hoe. Why do you think, and I generally know the answer to this, but I want to hear your particular take. Why are women so self-conscious about being perceived as too kinky, too promiscuous, too slutty? What's the big deal with that?
I think some of them will think that they won't be marriage material, when I'm like, that kind of makes you more marriage material, but just depending on how you, you know, go out about it. But, and then being talked about. We cannot stand for another woman or folks to be talking about us. Like, that's really just it. They don't want people to be talking bad about them and talking crap about them. That's just bottom line. Just too worried about what other folks think.
And see, that's the main, of all the lessons I would say that I teach in my books, that's probably number one, is to not give a fuck what other people think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we will all get a lot further in life when we stop doing that.
Matter of fact, I just told a client of mine, I was doing a consultation with a client, and he admitted that that's his main weakness. He cares a lot. And I told him about how I read this interview. They had this interview that came out a few months ago where they interviewed all these men and women who are in nursing homes that were anywhere from, I'd say, roughly 65 years of age and older. And they were asking them, when you look back on your life, is there anything you didn't do that you wish you had done, or anything you had done that you wish you didn't do? And it was a variety of responses from man to man, from woman to woman. But probably the number one most frequently given response was, if I knew what I knew now, I wouldn't have cared so much about other people's opinions, other people's criticisms, and other people's expectations of my behavior. Most of the men and women interviews said they wish they had just been their true, authentic self from the time they were young. And they regretted, you know, suppressing their behavior or modifying their behavior in order to please other people.
Yeah, that's the worst thing we can do, is modify ourselves. And then I don't even, I said that, you know, they'll want to appear to be a hoe, but I do want to put out there that there's nothing wrong with being a hoe, but being an exclusive hoe. Because I'm a hoe. I am my husband's hoe all day, every day.
See, I envy your husband so much, because that's what all men want. That's what all men want. And when some women get that, and some women will realize that, but other women, they don't. I say, you always want to be your man's personal slut.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you want to be, your man's personal slut.
Yeah, we have a lot more satisfied men. We'd have more men wanting to get married if we made married last a lot more desirable. But see, men, they think when you get married, you ain't going to get no more pussy, you're not going to get no more head, all this stuff. And it's like, they should be getting the nastiest, freakiest, just mm-mm-mm kind of sex, kind of fucking, when he commits himself to you. But we, too many women give all kinds of sex, all kinds of different ways to Ray Rays and Pookie Nims and shit, trying to get a man, but they just go about it the wrong way. You know, hoes, I say, have the right idea, wrong implementation.
Right idea, right. Wrong. Okay, explain what you mean by that. Right idea, wrong implementation.
Yeah, like hoes, like I love how hoes, you know, the importance of sex and, you know, do the kinky shit and sucking dick and swallowing and letting them nut on your face and nut on your chest and just all of that freaky stuff, you know, fucking you in the ass and all that good stuff. Like, I love that about hoes. That's why they have the right idea and they are very, you know, sexually free and giving, you know, to their dudes, but it's the wrong implementation because they're doing it with everybody or too many folks. Are folks that really don't give a damn about them. And the hoes will be fucking them like this, thinking it's going to make them become their man. And it's like, nah, he's going to just continue fucking you like that. He's not going to become your man. But if they would pull some of that back and give that hoe behavior to the one that really deserves it, then that's the right implementation. Because I'm a strong advocate of you're supposed to be dealing with semen that belongs to you.
Oh, that's an interesting phrase. Semen that belongs to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think that women should be swallowing nut willy-nilly. Like, maybe there's just something wrong with that. Like, I am sexually free, love sex, but then there's some stuff where I'm like, ladies, we got to save some of this shit, you know, for our kings and not these raggedy dudes. I don't think raggedy dudes don't deserve all that extra, Alan. Mm-mm.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Yeah, raggedy dudes, yeah, they don't deserve all the frosting on the cake.
Mm-mm. And that's all the ones that's getting it. And then a lot of raggedy dudes are the ones with the good dick, which, I don't know, is like a life gotcha something. But there's a lot of raggedy dudes going around with that really good dick, as so many women are in love with them.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about earlier. That's why.
Yeah.
That's why you have women. Again, I tell male, female friends, I say, anytime you see a woman, whether it's a female friend of yours, casual acquaintance of yours, and you find yourself saying, why is she with that motherfucker? Mm-hmm. I say 90 to 99% chance is because he's fucking her right. Matter of fact, this comedian said it. This was years ago. I was at this, the comedian Robert Townsend had this special in Chicago. And these different comedians. And he had at least two female comedians. And this one female comedian, she said, she was telling her jokes, and she said, okay, women, I want y'all to act like you think about something else, because I'm going to talk to the fellas. And they started laughing. And she said, fellas, I'm going to let y'all in on a little secret that y'all probably been wondering for years. She said, have y'all ever had that one girl that either you were attracted to, or she might have been a friend of yours, and you see it with this fucked up dude. He broke, unemployed, personality is just fucked up. But you're like, damn, why does she keep staying with it? And so she said, I knew where she was going. She said, you want to know why she won't leave that motherfucker? And she had this dramatic pause. She said, because that motherfucker got some good-ass dick, and everybody just lost it.
Yep.
She said, I'm just keeping it real. She said, that motherfucker. Oh, I'll tell you a story, and I told this story once on Upfront and Straightforward. There's this guy, no, his own daughter told him that. That tripped me out. I had met this guy through a friend of mine, and somehow we got on the subject of first just kids in general and the challenges of a father specifically raising a daughter. And my friend had introduced me as kind of this, you know, dating relationship expert. So he started asking me. He said, okay, Alan, since you're this expert, he said, I want you to explain to me, why do so many quality women hook up with, I'll use your term, raggedy men? And I said, oh, there's a number of different reasons. And I gave a couple other kind of general reasons. But my third reason was, I said, well, probably the most prominent reason is because, I said, you're not a blush easy type, right? He said, no. Mm-hmm. I said, okay, then it's because motherfuckers putting it down. Motherfuckers are fucking. Mm-hmm. And he said, so that's it. And and I said, you look like you're in deep thought. He said, well, actually, the reason I asked you that question is because I got a daughter. She just recently got her master's degree. She's very intelligent. She's very articulate, together career-wise. But she's dating this guy who don't even have a job. He only did 1 year of college. He's not ambitious at all. He's kind of like a semi-thug. And she said, I just don't understand why she's dating him. And I just kept it real when I said, because he's fucking your daughter, right? Sure enough, and my friend who had introduced me to him got mad at me. He's like, dang, Holloway, you don't say that to a father. I was like, what do you mean I don't say that to a father? I ain't going to give him no bullshit. I'm going to keep it real. Sure enough, he contacted me about, I don't know, 3-4 weeks later. And he was like, Alan, you were so right. And I was like, really? He said, yep. He said, I was talking to my daughter, and we got into an argument. And I said, I just don't understand why my daughter, who has so much going for her, would mess around with this low-life loser. He said, his daughter was like, okay, Dad, I've been trying to hold it in, but you want to know why I'm messing around with my man who you keep referring to as this low-life loser? She said, yeah, he ain't got the job some of these other guys got. He ain't got the money some of these other guys got. But all these guys who hit on me, they nerds, they geeks, or they just boring as hell in bed. And this guy fucks me right. He makes me come multiple times every night. And I was like, wow, she said that to you? He's like, yo. He said, when she's angry, she gets very outspoken. And he said, that's what she told me. She said, he's fucking her right. And it made me think about what you told me. I said, damn, Alan was right. And but yeah, that's usually the case. Yeah, when a woman's dealing with, as you call him, a raggedy, that just cracks me up, a raggedy man. Because that motherfucker don't know how to, he might not know how to fill out his W-2 tax form, but that motherfucker know how to fuck.
Yep, and that's how important sex is and being fucked right is. That women lose their mind and their senses to keep that good dick. But that's how important good dick is. That is how important good dick is. Good dick is like at a top priority. And
now,
can make a woman's life just fantastic.
Now, when you suck your husband's dick, do you actually suck it, or does he fuck your mouth, or a combination of the two?
Ooh, both. Both. And that's the part. I'm glad you said that. That is what would always make me come, is letting him fuck my mouth.
Ooh,
that's when you really get to come, ladies. Let your dude fuck your mouth. That shit is sexy. And we'll make you come.
Ladies, that again.
Let your man fuck your mouth and tell him, fuck my mouth. And just let him hold your head and fuck your mouth. And you gonna come. You gonna come with your man fucking your mouth. That is the ultimate right there.
Mm-hmm. So when your husband fucks your mouth, that makes you come, huh?
Yes, yes, yes. It's letting his dick, you know, hit the back of your throat. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, ladies, do that tonight. Tell your man to fuck your mouth.
Do you play with your pussy when he's fucking your mouth?
I do, but I don't even have to be to let him, I mean, to come. Like, that's the beauty of it. I don't have to be touching anything. He doesn't have to be touching anything. He could just be fucking my mouth and, you know, just pulling my hair, you know, while he's fucking my mouth nice and good. And that will make me come. I don't have to touch anything. But I do like to play with my pussy, though, when I'm sucking on his dick and he's fucking my mouth, yeah.
Okay, so you just got my dick hard already.
I like to play with my pussy.
Say it again.
I love to play with my pussy.
Oh, say it again.
Yes, Alan, you got my pussy real wet. Real wet. My pussy is so wet, so wet. Alan, you got my pussy wet.
Oh.
You have my fat pussy wet.
Oh, shit.
To give you a visual. you got me all nice and wet over here talking about that.
Say my pussy is so
wet. You love fucking mouth?
Yeah.
My pussy is so wet.
Say it again.
My pussy is so wet. So wet.
Say, Alan, I want to hear you come.
Oh, Alan, I want to hear you come. Love to make a dick fit.
Why you are successful in the business you do. Now, you had mentioned on my show, and I want you to go in a little more detail, that you had contributed a story for Corrine Steffens. I don't know if it's a book that's already out or is coming out, but I think it was called Follow the Yellow Dick Road.
Well, that was my particular story. The book is called Drink, Fuck, Sleep, and it is available now. You can go to Amazon and get that either in the ebook version or paperback. And my particular story is called Follow the Yellow Dick Road. Yeah.
That title just cracks.
Yes,
okay, then briefly tell my listeners, what's the premise of Follow the Yellow Dick Road?
Well, Follow the Yellow Dick Road, I am dealing with a light-skinned man in my story, so it is yellow. And really, I will say it's a pencil dick. That's why we titled it Yellow Dick Road, because I called him a pencil dick. but... It's a sexy story, you know, involves me, another man, and another woman, and, you know, just me enjoying pleasing another woman. A very sexy story, but it's also going to have, you know, my humor in it as well.
Okay, but, well, since you brought it up, I got to be nosy like I always am on the erotic conversation list. Have you made out with women before in your life?
Yes.
Did you enjoy that?
Uh-huh.
That's interesting, because some women... have made an interesting comment to me, and I want to get your take on this. Some women, not all women, but at least a few, have said that, Alan, the last thing you want to do is let your girlfriend get her pussy licked by another woman. Because once a woman has her pussy licked by another woman, she'll never want a man's mouth down there again. What's your thoughts about that? You laugh.
That's why I tell us it's so important to have your head game on, because yes, if another woman gets a hold of your woman's pussy and eats it right, she's going to get turned out. So, fellas, you need to know how to eat some pussy, because these women are out here eating pussy better than y'all and taking the women.
Hey, I can't even laugh at that, because that's the truth. I've heard stories of... I had a buddy actually a male friend of mine. It's bad enough when you dating a woman and she break up with you for another dude. I knew at least one guy, his girlfriend broke up with him for another woman.
Oh, boy, boop, boop.
And I was like, wow. And I want to say she even admitted to him that part of the reason why was because this woman was licking her pussy real good and basically just satisfying her in bed better than him. I was like, ouch.
Ooh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, that was an ouch. I wouldn't have even wanted to tell nobody else that if I was him.
You're like, there's some shit you just keep to yourself.
Yeah, I would have kept that shit to myself. I don't know what happened to her. She died.
Stuff with me all the time, particularly since I've become a book author and public speaker. I mean, you'd be surprised. Guys open up to me a lot. Like, I've had guys that will just openly admit, they'll say stuff like, "Alan, I don't think I can fuck." And I'll be like, "Really?" They're saying, "No, I'm very insecure about my sex skills," or they're insecure about the size of their dick, or, yeah, I mean, yeah, I've had quite a few guys that have opened up about that, their sexual insecurities.
Well, that's a good thing, because that kind of dialogue is needed.
Yeah, because, like, in my latest book, my last book, which is called The Possibility of Sex, I have one chapter where I go into detail. Because, like, one of the things I tell guys, if there's one thing some guys need to know, I hear a lot of guys will be bragging on having a whole bunch of one-night stands with women. And I say, you should, if you were the one who decided that it was only going to be a one-night stand, then that's one thing. But if the woman decided that she didn't want to fuck you a second time, I wouldn't be bragging on that shit. Because I tell men, I say the number one way, this is what I always tell men, this is my own opinion, people can disagree with, but I always say, you want to know the number one way you can tell when you are really good fuck, slightly above average fuck, or horrible fuck? And they'll say, how?
Mm-hmm.
I say, I'll start with the lowest. When you're a horrible fuck, woman ain't gonna never want to fuck you a second time. You'll be calling her, writing her emails, but that woman, I guarantee you, you ain't gonna hear from that woman again. You said it yourself earlier in this conversation. You said somebody was bad fucky, they ain't gonna hear from you again.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I tell men. I say, if you fuck a woman and you want to fuck a woman a second time, but she ain't really enthusiastic about it, that means you sucked. If you were average, maybe just slightly below average, you might get a second fuck. You might even get a third fuck, but they're going to be spread out. And that's going to be because all her other options in her black book ain't coming through, and she's just horny as fuck. So she's like, oh, I'll take this motherfucker's average dick over no dick at all.
No dick. Mm-hmm.
I say, if you're above average, yeah, a woman's going to fuck you pretty regularly. And she's going to enjoy fucking you, and at least a third of the time to half the time, she's probably going to initiate it. When it's exceptional, one of her girlfriends is probably going to be looking at you with flirtatious eyes. Why? Because she done told that one close girlfriend of hers, girl, my man, he be fucking me so good. And he done got her curious to the point where her friend be looking at you like, hey, how you doing?
Yeah.
Carol. You and my friend make such a good couple. Can I just have a threesome with y'all one day? I'm being kind of facetious, but I'm being truthful too. It's true. That's based on a lot of my own experiences as well as other experiences of others that I've observed, that tends to be how it shapes up. And so, yeah, and one of the things, again, I told guys in the book, I said, because I notice a lot of, not so much older guys, but young guys, I always be talking about, you know, all these one-night stands that they had. And I'm like, how come you didn't fuck her two times?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, actually, I wanted to, but, you know, she didn't respond to me, you know.
That's good. Your dick was bad.
And I was like, dude, that ain't a good sign, bro.
Yeah. Way they can tell. Oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead. I want you to do it.
Yeah. Another way, you know, that men can tell is if they, you know, call a woman late at night. And, you know, if she don't answer or she, you know, well, it's late and, you know, all that means you got some bad dick. But if you have some good dick, you can call her any time of the night and she's like, yeah, come on over. She will wake up. If she was in a dead sleep and you called her, she'll have the phone. First off, she gonna have the phone next to her pillow just in case your good dick ass calls. And when you do call, she's gonna get up and be ready for you to come over. But if you have bad dick, you call her late at night, you know, wanting to come over. She's like, oh, no, it's late. I got to get up early. And, oh, no, I'm too tired. But if you have good dick, there is never, and I got to get up early, I'm too tired, it's late, none of that.
See, men need to hear this. I'm so glad I had you on this show because men need it. Matter of fact, this takes me to, I was talking about Tyler Perry's movie earlier. This takes me to one of my harsh criticisms of Hollywood. I'm going to get your opinion on this. Remember when I told you about, you know, that website where the guy asked about size and they were giving him all that bullshit? You know, women don't care about that. How come you don't see too many movies? Well, first let me ask you this. What's a movie that just off the top of your head that you can think of where that emphasized that a woman was really enthralled with a guy for no other reason than the fact that he has some good dick? What's like one or two movies that come to your head?
I'm going to have to think about that for a moment. You might want to keep talking about something else while I
see. See? But no, that answer proves my point. The fact that you got to think about it. No, this is what I tell men and women. I say you very rarely see a movie that even touches on that. What most movies touch on is that a woman be fascinated with guy because of how much money he got, or because he's just a sweethearted guy, or he got a good job, or basically every reason other than dick. And I always just feel like that's just unrealistic. And that's, again, that points to actually why I did like this movie, Temptation. Because they did kind of have that emphasis, not in a major way, but at least in a very subtle way. They did emphasize that this woman mainly was cheating on her husband because this motherfucker was putting it down. And I think there need to be more movies that emphasize that, because, you know, all this other shit is just bullshit, and it don't help the women watching, and it definitely don't help the men who are watching these movies, and that's why, if I had to toot my horn a little bit, that's why a lot of my male readers and male clients love me so much, because they like, Alan, you keep it real, man. You don't give us no fluff talk, no bullshit. And I'm like,
stuff
yeah, man.
Stuff to make them feel better.
Yeah, stuff to make you feel better. Because I'm like, man, shit, you know. If you got some good dick, you can get away with a lot of shit with women. You can have women paying your car note. You can have women paying your rent. You can have women buying you clothes. Shit, motherfuckers just don't know. When you know how to put it down.
Don't even know.
There's some definite advantages to that shit, you know.
Oh, have you heard the comedian some more? She has a bit where she says, "If you don't have a big dick, don't show up with a big dick man's conversation." Have you seen her bit where she talks about that?
No, I haven't seen that.
It's fantastic. Now, she pretty much, you know, says, like, when you have a big dick, she says, you can come at us like this. Where the hell you been? I've been calling you all day. What the fuck? And all that. She's like, but if you don't have a big dick, lower your voice. She says, some of you. She said, you're supposed to be saying, where were you? I was so worried about you. I called your mom's house. And she said, some of you's dick is so little. She said, you just need to write a note. She's like, don't say nothing. But yeah, but if you have a big dick, we'll take that. Where you been? He's like, I've been right here, Daddy. I'm sorry. Yep. So true.
No.
Yeah, big dick dudes can get away with a whole lot more.
I totally agree.
And that's the power.
Let me just quickly ask you about, I was talking about the entertainment industry, but I'm going to ask you about society in general. Why do you, like I told you, I think you're very outspoken, you're very open-minded, you're very free-spirited in your conversation and your advice. Two questions. One, why do you think Americans as a whole are still so uptight about conversations about sex and treat it like such a taboo topic. And what do you think can happen to alleviate that?
I think it's this way over here because just our Western society was built, you know, upon Christianity, and it was built by people that did not have a good relationship with sex nor understand sex. And that is why we're so effed up when it comes to sex over here in America and don't understand it. And just because of who built our society. And then the very strong Christian, you know, beliefs that are over here. Because the Christians do not understand sex. The people that wrote the Bible, and I'm probably going to make a lot of Christians mad, but they don't understand sex.
That is a strong statement.
Yeah, it is. It is. And you know, if somebody wants to come at me, you know, we can definitely discuss it one day. But, like, even in the Bible, Paul says, you know, oh, if you must, you know, have sex, then you should marry, but it's better to be like me and not have sex. But what a lot of people, you know, don't understand is that Paul, you know, was a hunchback. And Paul was ugly. So Paul didn't get along with women, and the women didn't like Paul. So when he's saying, well, you know, yeah, well, if you have to have sex, you should marry, but it's better to be like me and not. But it's because Paul couldn't. You know, women didn't like him.
Wow. You just told me something. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah, and I learned this through a man that studied theology at Princeton. So, you know,
wow.
Not just any college. And, you know, he's read all 800-plus versions of the Bible, and we've, you know, discussed it. And that, you know, is something that's factual. But they will read the Bible and you know, read words from, like, Paul and feel that, oh, since he's in the Bible, he must have been perfect, and he was right, and blah, blah, blah. But it's, you know, no, he was still human. He was still imperfect. And just because he said that doesn't mean that that is right, that that is what's supposed to be going down, you know? Because in the Bible, nowhere does Jesus himself say that fornication is wrong. Nowhere. Other people said it. Paul said it. But Paul couldn't get none. So, of course, he was going to say it. He was a hater.
Man, this is the most interesting take I've ever heard on the Bible. Wow.
Yeah.
You see Paul.
Yeah. You know, to put it in our modern terms. Yeah.
So he was hating because he wasn't getting no
here.
Pussy.
Yes. He was hating. So, yeah, Paul was a hater. And, you know, Christians can email me, Nikki@NikkiRansom.com.
Well, here is what confuses me about the Bible. And, you know, the one I want to put forth, I do respect, you know, the knowledge and wisdom that's contained in the Bible, most of it anyway. But when it comes to sex and women, what's confusing for me, and I've talked to a few other people who left confused too, is in the Old Testament, there was guys who had multiple wives. They had concubines, like Samson. Samson had like about 2,000 wives. But yet, in the New Testament, they tend to preach more about, you know, you need to be married with, you know, with one person. And that just confuses me that it was acceptable in the Old Testament to have multiple lovers and multiple spouses, but in the New Testament, things changed.
Mm-hmm.
So you say your friend told you that Jesus himself never criticizes fornication?
Nope.
Really? I never knew that.
They can go all up and through that. They'll try to maneuver it and say, oh, he was saying not to fornicate. Like when he spoke to a whore before and he said, go and sin no more. But he's not saying that fornication, you know, is wrong. Jesus himself never comes out and says that. And then people have to understand, too, that the Bible keeps being rewritten. And then that King James Version that they're holding, done by homosexuals, but they're consistently talking about how bad homosexuality is, but it's like that King James Version you got right there, honey, was published by a homosexual. So
really? That's what you're dropping down on me again? I didn't know. Is this speculation or this is fact?
No, this is fact. King James. Yes, King James was a homosexual, and Shakespeare was one of his writers. in the Bible. And it's Psalms 46 or 47. I'll email you. It's 46 or 47. But if you go in there and you count forward to 46 words, you will see shake. And if you count back, 46 words will be spear. So you'll see Shakespeare's name actually hidden in that chapter of Psalms.
Wow. That's interesting.
Yeah, King James was a homosexual and had sex with animals as well.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to email you some things.
Yeah, you're going to email. You sharing some, you enlightening me. If all this is true, you have just enlightened me big time. I ain't never heard none of this. Wow.
Yes, very much. And you know, so many do not. We take the Bible and keep it at face value and don't research anything. And then we construct our lives all around this without researching a drop. And they're bashing. I can't stand to see how they bash homosexuals. And then I'm like, the Bible you're holding, like, come on, in King James, blah, blah, blah. Like, no, don't you dare. Yeah. So it's because we don't understand sex. Like, over you know, in other countries, like those that practice tantra and Taoism, they understood the importance of sex and even and how important women were to sex. Like, they would use sex for medicine and even use the woman's bodily fluids during sex and orgasm for medicine and for strength. So sex is really a beautiful thing, but our society has shamed it and dirtified it, you know, just based upon the standards we were built upon.
Wow. Yeah, because, you know, I remember when I saw this movie a few years ago called Kama Sutra, and I learned that in some Middle Eastern countries, girls are taught as early as like 11, 12, 13 how to be sensuous. Mm-hmm. And they basically teach them the importance of sex, the importance of pleasing their man, so that by the age that they're, you know, 17, 18, 19, whatever their acceptable age is for marriage, they'll be ready, that they won't be like, you know, this frigid virgin, mm-hmm. you know. And this article was saying that how, see, Americans would never do that because we're too uptight over here. We don't even want people thinking about sex under the age of 18. But, yeah, over there, they teach women, starting when, again, like 12, 13. They tell them how to carry themselves in a sensuous manner, how to speak in a sensuous manner, just to have overall body language that is mm-hmm. erotic. It just trips me out how prudish we are. I didn't realize it until when I lived in L.A., I started meeting so many people from Europe, and they would always say that. Mm-hmm. They would say, you know, you Americans are prudish. And I was like, really? They're like, oh, yeah, I mean, shit, over in Europe, people talk about fucking all the time. But over here, you guys, mm-hmm. like, they have, oh, in certain countries in Europe, they will have women on like a newscast that will do strip teases and shit.
Oh.
I was like, wow. Yeah, it's a trip. So,
you definitely have to get it together.
I want you to emphasize again to the women, for those, particularly those women who currently don't have a man, how pleasurable it can be for them to play with their pussy and make themselves come.
Ooh, ladies, yes, yes. Masturbation and fucking yourself, playing with your pussy, is, first off, one of the best things that you can do for yourself. You know, making yourself come and learning your body and what your pussy likes, and then even finding all the spots that I told you about before, finding them yourself, so you know, oh, this, that's what the G-spot feels like, and that's what, you know, the A-spot in my pussy feels like. It definitely should be playing with your own pussy and making yourself come.
Mm. Yeah, because I got your pussy when this conversation, right?
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Goodness,
yeah.
I dig God. Oh, she said yes. Say yes, Alan. You had my pussy real wet.
Yes, Alan. You got my pussy real wet. Real wet.
All right. As we begin to wrap up, what would be your kind of like, I don't know, final thoughts, final words of wisdom, final drops of knowledge for both men and women, and particularly women as it relates to their sexuality, their sex lives with their chosen companions? What's something that you think women need to keep in mind as they move forward in life as it relates to their sex life?
We need to keep in mind, first off, that sex is very important and that sex was meant for you. Sex was meant for us to be enjoying and having a lot of sex and worshiping our bodies. I also, when it comes to our partners, you know, when we decide that we are going to commit to somebody, there should be no hesitation, no funny feelings about licking and sucking and pleasuring every part of their body and in every way that they want. Because sex is something to be celebrated, and your bodies should be worshipped in that way. So sucking each other and sucking each other well is going to be something that's going to make your relationship tight. So you have to keep that in mind.
Okay. Oh, I know one quick other thing I want you to tell my male listeners who might be listening. And this is not an attempt to just necessarily make them, quote, unquote, feel better. But let's say a guy did come to you and he said, hey, Nikki, I don't have the fattest dick in the world. I don't have the longest dick in the world. Is there anything I can do to compensate, any toys I can buy? What would you say to them to keep them at least halfway encouraged about their ability to please a woman in bed?
Well, there are penis extenders that they can buy that they would attach to the end of their penis to make it longer. They could try cock rings to help make them harder. And then try the penis exercises, too, you know, to make their dicks stronger.
Oh, man, you're going to have to talk about this. You didn't talk about this before. What penis exercises?
Well, like the...
First of all, why are you saying penis? You're supposed to be saying dicks.
Dick. 80% of the time, I have to be so educational and horrible, Alex, but... I got to remember when I can let loose.
You know what? I do give you some pass on that because I read that on your website. One of your testimonials, a couple of them were saying that. They were like, Nikki was so great because she talked about such raw material, but she was still, you know, I don't think they said PG-13, but it was to that effect. They were like, she talked about raw subject matter, but in a PG-13 manner. I said, oh, no wonder she's always talking about penis and vagina and all that stuff. But,
yeah,
okay, so what are two or three dick exercises that a man can do to strengthen his dick?
Well, one exercise that is what will help actually elongate it is kind of like it's like a milking kind of technique.
They call it joking.
Yeah, and then just the regular, you know, towel exercise where you put like a hand towel on your hard dick and he lifts it with his penis muscle, his dick muscles.
You do what?
When your dick is hard,
uh-huh,
and you put like a hand towel,
okay,
on your dick.
Okay.
And then you actually lift it up like dick presses. Dick lifts. That's what I call them, dick lifts.
Wow.
Yes, dick. Yep, dick lifts. And then, you know, once the dick gets strong enough to do the dick lift with just the regular towel, then you wet it to make it a little bit heavier and then do the dick lifts with that, if that's going to help. And also, too, I do want to put out there that, ladies, we can still help their dicks get longer and bigger. Like, the more the a man is aroused and the horner he is, then the more blood that's going to be, you know, at his, that the more blood that's going to be going to his dick and make him harder.
Mm.
Sometimes it's not always the man. Like, ladies, like, we got to, you know, turn that man on and get him nice and hard. Because I've even had, you know, different experiences, even though I love, you know, the size of my husband's dick, where I can do certain things and make his dick even bigger than what I would even normally be used to.
You know, that is such a great point. I first experienced that, I want to say, my late teens, early 20s, and I've experienced it off and on since. I remember one time I was dating this woman, and one time she always had me excited, but there was one time you could say she had me, like, just extra aroused. I mean, I was, like, just super-duper horny. And one of the things I noticed as a result of being super-duper horny, my dick became, like, the veins particularly became really big. Like, they looked like they was going to pop out my dick. And I was looking. And my girlfriend was like, why are you staring at your dick? But then when she started looking, she even knows, she's like, damn, baby, I ain't never seen your dick that big. I mean, it was, like, huge. And, again, particularly, like, in terms of the veins were, like, just really, like, big and pronounced. And I've experienced that from time to time since. And it usually happens, like you said, when you, like, just really, really, really aroused.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's good advice for the women. Women, get your guys, like, get them to a point where they just, like, super duper horny. Because, man, my shit, it gets real big when it's,
if they want to do stuff that's going to make, you know, the blood get to the penis. And, guys, like, if you smoke cigarettes, like, that can inhibit the amount of blood that's going to go to your penis. So, and then less blood in your penis means a smaller dick. So, you know, stop smoking.
Oh, Nikki, you are priceless. Oh, this woman has made me laugh out loud, and she's got my dick hard. God, goodness, she's just a total package. Well, I will say for the second time, again, I want to let my listeners know, she is the first woman to be a guest on both Upfront and Straightforward and the Erotic Conversationalist. I appreciate you being a guest for the second time. You and I, at some point in the future, definitely going to have to collaborate on some type of workshop, seminar, conference. We might even have to do that YouTube video you suggested. We talk about, damn, I forgot now what we were talking about. You was talking about something about we should do it YouTube.
White girl sucking good dick.
Yeah, that's it. But hey, baby, continued success to you. You keep enlightening these people out here and helping them. Because I say on my show all the time, I got much love and respect for anybody who makes it their career, makes it their passion to help other people improve their love life, sex life, and overall social life. And you are definitely doing that, and you're doing it well. And you tell your husband that Alan Roger Curry said he's a lucky-ass man to have you as his wife and his personal sex slave.
His personal hoe.
Personal hoe. I love the way that sounds. His personal hoe. Suck his dick on command.
Oh, thank you so much.
Well, enjoy the rest of your day, Nikki, and I will talk with you again soon.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye. This episode of The Erotic Conversationalist was produced by Alan Roger Curry for Mode One Multimedia Incorporated.